find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly. B21.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
It is 8:06 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Mid-Columbia Today on News Radio 1300, 103.9 KECI, 98.3 FM, 1340 AM KIHR. It is a Wednesday morning. We got a busy show for you. First part of the show, Hood River Police Lieutenant Don Chaley and Megan Ramey from, who's, if you're in the Hood River area especially, she's involved all sorts of bicycle things. We're going to talk about e-bikes a little bit. I'll tell the story of what inspired me to have them on here in a few minutes after the commercial break. And we'll talk about e-bikes and some of the regulations, and maybe especially about kids who can and aren't supposed to be riding these things and what kind of traffic, etc. So we'll talk all about that. Second half of the show, we're going to be joined by Jennifer Pauletto and Janelle Boreen from Washington Gorge Action Programs. They've got a big fundraiser for their food bank coming up next month. So we'll do all that in the show. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1876, the Battle of Little Bighorn, Custer's last stand, began in the southeastern Montana Territory. As many as 100 Native Americans were killed in the battle, as were 268 people attached to the 7th Cavalry Regiment, including George Armstrong Custer and Mark Kellogg, who was the first Associated Press reporter to die in the line of duty. 1938, the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, which set a minimum wage, guaranteed overtime pay, and banned oppressive child labor, signed the law by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. 1950, war broke out in Korea as communist North forces invaded the South. The conflict would last over 3 years and would be responsible for an estimated 4 million deaths, 3 million of whom were civilians. 1973, former White House counsel John Dean began testifying before the Senate Watergate Committee, implicating top administration officials, including President Richard Nixon, as well as himself, in the Watergate scandal and cover-up. 1990, the U.S. Supreme Court in Cruzan versus Director, Missouri Department of Health, its first right-to-die decision, ruled 5-4 family members could be barred from ending the lives of persistently comatose relatives who had not made their wishes known conclusively. And in 2015, the case of King versus Burwell, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld nationwide tax subsidies under President Barack Obama's health care overhaul in the 6-3 ruling that preserved health insurance for millions of Americans. Days for today, it is National Police Community Cooperative Day. It's also National Parchment Day, as in parchment paper that you use in baking and cooking. You know, it's a handy little tool. It's National Catfish Day today. And if you ever are in, like, the Ozark Mountains and that kind of area, have some of the catfish. They know how to make it. It's really good. It's Global Beatles Day, as in, yes, the Beatles, the band. There are varying reasons why, but we celebrate them today. And it's Color TV Day today. I am old enough to remember I had a black and white TV when I was a kid in my bedroom. But yeah, I know we've moved on since then, but it's Color TV Day today. And finally, for food today, something for dessert, it's National Strawberry Parfait Day today. So there it all is for what it's worth, maybe not a whole lot. 8:09, we'll talk e-bikes after this.
Craving something cool, savory, or just downright fun? Swing by Scoopers, where there's something for everyone. Over 25 flavors of Umpqua ice cream, plus mouthwatering sandwiches, homemade soups, coffee drinks, Italian sodas, and milkshakes that'll make your taste buds dance. Planning a party? We've got 2 party rooms and a family-friendly arcade that keeps the fun going. Find us on 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Open every day. Scoopers, cool treats, hot eats, and good times for the whole family.
It's the music event of summer, CMA Fest.
Let's go!
with can't-miss performances by Blake Shelton, Megan Maroney, Keith Urban, Kelsey Ballerini, Ella Langland, and more. Plus, one-of-a-kind collaborations featuring Brooks and Dunn and Lainey Wilson, Shaboozy and Jelly Roll, and Bailey Zimmerman and Big X the Plug. Ashley McBride and Cody Johnson host.
You guys ready to party tonight?
CMA Fest, presented by SoFi. Thursday, 8, 7 Central on ABC, and stream next day on Hulu.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:11 in the morning, we are happy to be joined by Hood River Police Lieutenant Don Shaley and Megan Ramey, who is involved in all sorts of bicycle things in the Hood River area. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you.
I'm going to give the story here that kind of inspired me to give Don a contact here. Because, and we've talked about e-bikes on this show before. Neil Holste, Hood River Police Chief, has been here, and we've done it once at least. But yesterday I was driving down Belmont, leaving the studio. I was just making a quick errand, heading toward the Hood River Supply Rosario Shopping Center area. And in front of me was, by a little bit, it was an e-bike, and it was, they were pedaling, but it was going pretty good. It wasn't like I was catching up with it. And they turned right onto what is 13th Street, which of course merges onto 12th, and you're heading toward a Rosars. And they got out into that traffic. They got maneuvered in the left turn lane on the Pacific Avenue, and then they fairly suddenly decided to cut across two lanes onto the sidewalk. Now, I drove by. Happily, nothing happened. I realized how they could not have been older than 12 or 13. And that's kind of what struck me. I had an opening for the show. I'm going, hey, maybe we should talk about this and remind people what all the regulations of the safety and the ins and outs of these e-bikes are. So I'll start with Don. I'll start with you first here. How old does someone have to be able to ride one of these e-bikes? Or does it depend on the type of e-bike?
So House Bill 4103 defined the three different classifications of e-bikes, 1, 2, and 3. And all three classifications, you have to be 16 years old to ride the bike. And there have been some pushes for to get that age down a little bit. As far as I know, it's been unsuccessful. I think Megan has some information about something that may be in the works. But as of right now, it is 16 years old.
Now, you said class 1, 2, and 3. I take it, does that relate to how fast it can go? It's somewhat.
Yeah, so they're all pretty similar. So class 1 and 2 both top out at 20 miles an hour.
All right.
Class 1 is pedal assist only. Mm-hmm. Class 2 is throttle.
Okay.
Class 3 is pedal assist, but up to 28 miles an hour.
Okay. Because there's a part of me that suspects this was a class 3, because it wasn't like I was catching up with it on Belmont where the speed limit's 25.
Well, now we're seeing, Surons. They're kind of like, they look like little dirt bike type bikes that are, they go in excess of 30 miles an hour now.
Which is a motorcycle.
I was going to ask the next question based on that is, at what point does an e-bike cross the line where it just flat out is a motorcycle?
30 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't think this was going that fast, but that's just a guess on my part. Megan, you're so heavily involved in the bicycle community here. What are you seeing with parents and e-bikes and letting their kids use them? Because, like I said, I know those kids weren't 16. I mean, I can guarantee that, just looking at them.
Right.
And I mean, they had helmets. They had bike helmets on. But I'm not sure that's all that helpful if they're going as quick as I think they were.
Right. So, first off, I want to start with that this is, like, a highly nuanced issue. Mm. I've been observing it for 6 years, watching it go from nothing to where we are now today. And I want to say that I'm, like, grounded in childhood safety and joy. And but not only their safety, it's I want everybody to be safe, whether they're driving, walking, biking. And as a Safe Routes to School manager for the Hood River County School District, I'm responsible for educating our children on how to ride bikes safely from kindergarten through eighth grade. My thoughts on this. As a mom, I have a 15-year-old who has been riding a bike since she was 3 years old to school. And this was in Boston at the time. And she has very acute what we call traffic biking experience. She has been riding a e-bike since she was with us next to her, which is a big difference than by themselves, since she was about 12 years old. And it's just in the past 2 years that she's been independent on an e-bike. So, yes, technically she is breaking the law. But as a parent, I have biked with her since she was 3 years old. I know what she is capable of understanding and what she's not. Not every child is like that. And most children in the Hood River County area grow up mountain biking with their kids. With, like, mountain biking with their parents, which is a very different mentality. That is risk-taking, independent, and traffic biking is you have to be empathetic and community-minded and risk-averse.
Right.
So I think the kids right now are a product of their environment, which has mostly been around mountain biking.
And I will throw, by the way, on this. When I say kids, there were two kids on this bike.
Right.
One was riding on the back of it. Which, even if frankly, if you're just riding a bicycle in the traffic I'm talking about, isn't a good thing, regardless, because it wasn't built for two people. That was pretty obvious. So, being Don was mentioning, is there something in the works to clarify this for people?
Yes, I mean, so first of all, just on the double riding thing, that's that's like an everyday occurrence in the Netherlands. It's not, it's very efficient transportation for youth. The difference is the speed.
Yes.
And the lack of infrastructure. So you're bringing up a perfect example of like how infrastructure can help inform better behavior. That section between Pacific and Union on 12th-13th is like one of my number one priorities for better infrastructure for both parents and kids. But in terms of what's in the works, I'm working with the Hood River County School District to educate the parents. I mean, my biggest, besides really focusing in on fifth to eighth graders on biking education, I'm trying to get the word out that parents really need to ride the bikes with their kids in the street before they give their kids an e-bike. And or the age is 16, but with a driver's permit, they can ride at 15. And it's actually a great riding an e-bike before you get your driver's license is, I would arguably say, is better traffic education than riding a driving a car with your parents. So, there is a lot that I could talk about. I wrote a blog post about this in Gorge Youth that was just published last week. So it was serendipitous. And there's a lot of issues. One more really quick promotion is tomorrow is starts my summer bike camp. And so we ride in the streets. And I'm teaching the kids how to ride bikes independent of their parents. So if any parents are interested, I would love if we got some more kids in there.
How can people take part in that?
That is, they can register through Walk and Roll, HoodRiverCounty.com.
Okay, so that's available.
Yeah.
Don, I will tell you, I mean, the legalities of it are, though, that you have to be 16 at this stage in the state of Oregon.
Correct.
I also suspect it's one of those situations where, you know, cause it's not necessarily easy to tell when somebody's 16 years old or not, obviously, while they're on a bicycle.
Right.
If it's being ridden properly, you know, you guys probably aren't looking for little kids riding bicycles like this.
Well, we've been getting for the last couple of years has been a pretty hot topic as far as fielding complaints on people telling us that there are, you know, children on these bikes. And so the problem is when they, you know, they come out with House Bill 4103, there's a lot of definitions of what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. It's outlined. There is no enforcement action. There is no penalty. There is no fine amount. Right. So essentially, what we can do is educate.
Yeah.
You know, if we see somebody who looks like they're under 16, we might stop and contact them. And most kids know, you know, if you stop, if you pull over and say, hey, you know, are you supposed to be on that? A lot of kids are like, oh, sorry, you know, whatever. Yeah. And we're heading home. Say, okay, great. So when it comes to unsafe riding, like what you're witnessing. Yes, there are laws that we can enforce as far as if they're being reckless on the bike, if they're riding on a sidewalk reckless, things like that. But just for being under 16 at this time, no.
Which does lead to, I mean, you mentioned the sidewalk. I've never been bothered by kids riding their bicycles on sidewalks. I think it's great. You know, great. Wonder, you know, if they're safer that way, fine. It's not a big deal. Should an e-bike, I mean, e-bike's a little different because, again, the speed you can get to. I assume e-bikes aren't supposed to be on sidewalks, Megan, are they?
No, it's against the law in the state of Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's Deputy Shelley, right? Lieutenant.
We're city, not county.
Yes, yeah, sorry, okay. Lieutenant Shelley and I were talking about this yesterday. So I tell, when I teach the kids about sidewalk riding, and I'm like, and I use acoustic versus electric, I say, you know, when you're riding an acoustic bike on the sidewalk, either one, that sidewalk is not for you. That is for people walking, and that is for people in wheelchairs, moms pushing strollers, dads pushing strollers, whatever. That is not for you. So when you are riding on the sidewalk, you need to use grace and empathy and use your bell and your voice. And if you need to, then you need to get off and walk your bike around them. So it's not for you. E-bikes, yes. We talk about this a lot because I get reports. I think this is one of the biggest friction points with people and seeing the kids riding e-bikes is they're riding on the sidewalk because their parents probably tell them to ride on the sidewalk because it's safer, in quotes. But in actuality, sometimes it's not safer because of all the curb cuts. And drivers are looking left when they should be maybe looking right for somebody walking or biking. But I tell them that they really need to go slow, like 10 walking speed, 10 miles an hour. So that's, that's as best as I can do. But with lack of infrastructure, the kids, like, gravitate. It's like human nature to gravitate towards the sidewalk.
Like I said, I mean, with kids, I've never had a problem with that. That's, you know, they need a safe haven. Good. that sort of thing. That's why I was glad, I know they can't be on the sidewalk with e-bikes, but I was glad those kids got to the sidewalk and could regather themselves at that point. Yeah, you mentioned Boston. I grew up in Eugene, which, I mean, this is late 70s, early 80s. We had bike lanes there already. I mean, Eugene was way ahead of the game on that. So it's even, since I've lived here for so long, I'm used to not having bike lanes now, but it took a long time to get bike lanes, you know, get used to that. When you say infrastructure, is bike lanes mainly what you refer to as we see the Heights Streetscape project coming in, potentially, et cetera? That's what we're lacking here?
Yeah, so, for example, I was just in, I don't like to use big cities as a comp Hood River, but I was just in Whitefish, Montana, which same population, same culture, and then also Jackson Hole. And those two cities have built completely separated bikeways. Okay. So they're like not even in the street with like a painted bike lane. They're like, there's like a grassy patch of like 10 feet and then there's like a bikeway.
Yeah.
And so the kids are completely in the, everybody's completely separated. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about with infrastructure. And I am desperately trying to help the city and the county raise funding. Like we're going through an entire Safe Routes to School county planning process to how do we get these kids from their home to their school where their parents can feel completely they want them to come home every day. Like every parents want their kids to come home every day. And that's like that's one of the biggest reasons they don't let their kids walk and bike to school is the infrastructure.
And there, I mean, there are tough places. Well, this is in the city, but the place just again, everybody probably has their own place where they get concerned about bicycles because it's where they drive. But for me, it's the one that really scares me. And if I was a bicyclist, frankly, I would not use this road. It's Brookside. Between I go to Indian Creek Golf Course a lot. So I'm, and plus it's a way to, toward my Hood River Valley High School, my house, et cetera. Because of all the curves and the hills there, you know, frankly, if I get behind a bicyclist, I'm going 5 miles an hour until I can kind of get the hill crested and have any sort of way to see. You know, there are locations that I do worry about that's like, I'm not sure we can ever make it safe.
Yeah, Brookside did not make our, for the high school, when we did our network plan, that is not going to be included. Right. We're going more, the Indian Creek Trail connection that'll happen at some point, and then Indian Creek Road.
Right.
Indian Creek Road is actually a perfect candidate for a completely separated path.
Yeah.
And we just, because the right-of-way is there, but we just have to get it, get the funding.
But that's always the issue. And I need to wrap this up here. So, I'll, you know, curling back to e-bike safety, Megan, what's the key thing people need to think about, especially with parents and their kids and what they should be telling and letting their kids do?
So I would say as a parent who has a 15-year-old and has watched this evolution, as well as, you know, she has friends and I pay attention to them, is parents really need to ride bikes with their kids in the street. If they're not feeling comfortable just riding bikes with their kids in the street, then picture that child by themselves without their parents' supervision and what they're going to be doing. And then in terms of like an actual e-bike, the three class system that we just talked about, there is like the basic pedal assist that will just assist you. I think the throttle, personally to me, like it just, it adds like a safety hazard. And it's not, instilling the type of behavior that as an educator, I like to see in students who ride.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they're just, like, throttling everywhere, and they're not really understanding.
Well, then you're basically riding a scooter or a motorcycle.
And that's the pushback we get, is that they're, like, the Class 2 e-bikes are, like, essentially mopeds, except they only go 20.
Right.
So that's, I would prefer to see teens on pedal assist. So that's my biggest, I mean, there's, I would tell parents that they need to get their kids like in bike safety classes, but
That's something. Do kids get bike safety classes in schools?
I'm teaching them. I'm teaching K through 8th. And it's a lot of it, energy is directed at Hood River Middle School, because that's, I mean, the Hood River Middle School and Y East curriculums are very different, because the Y-East kids just don't have the both the means, they're the privilege, but also the they don't have the dense network of streetscape.
Because the city, those middle school kids, I mean, they've got Providence right next to you. There's all sorts of urban hazards, if you will. I hate to use the word urban for Hood River, but
it's
reality. Don, from the law enforcement side, What can you advise people?
Well, on? I think the biggest thing is safety for the kids, safety for the drivers, right?
Right.
And also I think education on for parents who are allowing their mm-hmm. children to do this. But then we would like the community to understand what actions we can take and what actions we can't take.
Yeah.
So when we get complaints, we don't want to feel like they're falling on deaf ears. It's that it's, we have limitations on what we can enforce. Mm-hmm. So we can, definitely contact these kids, talk to them. But in the end, it's going to be all about education right now.
Mm-hmm. I have one more quick
parting.
Sure, go
ahead. Yeah.
In terms of driving and like what you experienced the other day, mm-hmm. I, as somebody who drives, I find that when I'm behind mm-hmm. behind the wheel, there is this bias. It mm-hmm. feels a lot more crazy than what it is when you're actually on a bike.
Yeah.
And so as a driver, I would say when you see kids doing things that are both either unsafe, perceptually unsafe, to just take it slow. And if they actually, like, if something, like, they're very near miss, mm-hmm. like, without being a stalker, like, to maybe try and have a conversation. Like, you just scared me. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a village to, like, help educate these kids.
The part that concerned me the most about what I saw was the age of the kids. They, if it had been somebody who was an adult, I would be more irritated.
Which I see too, by the way.
We see that as well.
By the way, I'm sure that happened. Yes. Oh, yes, we all see that. It was the age of the kids that startled me, and that's what I was actually more shaken after it mm-hmm. when I realized how young the kids were than when it actually happened. Again, I don't want to make it sound like they just missed getting hit by cars, but, crossing two lanes like that, the way they did it, was that's not safe. It isn't. I just think they got out they get into that left turn lane. Now you're surrounded by motor vehicles, and you got the convenience store and the gas station, the college. So cars are coming at you from all sorts of directions, and I think they just got, they got spooked. Mm-hmm. Which at that age, I get. If basically maybe they haven't been out on one of those things before, mm-hmm. But it does. But I've heard you hear other stories. And Megan, you get a ton of them. Don, you get a ton of them. Mm-hmm. I don't think my experience was unique in any way, particularly.
No, I don't think so. And I think it also comes down to perspective too, as far as what you see as unsafe is maybe they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes vice versa. Sometimes what seems unsafe is really not that unsafe. It's just you're uncomfortable with what you're seeing.
And I'm pretty sure I did things at 12 and 13 years old that probably startled some people too.
Yeah.
But I guess the thing is I've heard about this so much. It's like what you don't want is somebody get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
That's the key thing.
Mm-hmm. I am so grateful as of now that, as somebody who has been a transportation advocate for many years, and I have been to too many ghost bike ceremonies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys, ghost bikes is where you paint a bike white in honor of somebody dying in the streets.
Yeah.
And I am so grateful that we have not had a ghost bike ceremony mm-hmm. in this town for as long as I've lived here. Mm-hmm. And so please, please, parents and drivers, we need to all take care of each other. And it takes a village in this situation.
Don, Megan, thanks for being with us. I do have to run. It's 8:33. News coming up next.
Jacob Crisman, former Hood River High running back, now leads Hootie's Oil Change on the Heights. After 20 years away, Jacob and his wife Emily are back, proudly serving the community that raised them. At Hootie's, our no-pressure technicians focus on safety and performance, not sales. Enjoy fast drive-through service with no appointment needed and a free beverage while you wait. Every oil change includes a 30-point inspection and free top-off of low fluids. Experience hometown pride and professional care. Go Hootie's! Visit us today at hootiesoilchange.com.
Warm days are back in the Gorge. Don't wait for the heat to spike before checking your AC. I'm Kimberly from A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Now is the perfect time for your AC maintenance. We offer exclusive memberships including HVAC, monitoring, generators, and plumbing to keep your whole home running smoothly year-round. Is your system ready for replacement? As a 2024 Highest Residential Participation Award winner from Energy Trust of Oregon, we'll help you maximize rebates and incentives to return your home to peak performance and keep cash in your pocket. Call us, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:35 in the morning, running a bit behind here, so we'll just do a headlines here. Wasco County says it's working closely with the Department of Environmental Quality to develop a comprehensive debris removal plan for the Rowena Fire area. County officials say the plan is crucial because many wildfire-affected properties may contain potentially toxic chemicals that require specialized handling and disposal. Oregon House voting to repeal a controversial wildfire hazard map and home hardening requirements that accompanied it. Rural Oregonians and their representatives in the legislature had asserted for months the map was flawed, claiming to know the risk on a property-by-property basis without anyone having eyeballed each property, and was unfairly driving up insurance costs. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle agreed the map was problematic, but the bill had been held up for a month, but passed Tuesday with just a single no vote. Skyline Health and White Salmon slated to receive $3 million as part of the fiscal year 2026 Agriculture, Rural Development, Food and Drug Administration related agencies appropriation bill that passed the House Appropriations Committee. Washington 4th District Congressman Dan Newhouse's office says the funding will help Skyline expand surgical services by renovating existing facility space and increasing the capacity of Skyline Health to provide for growth. And Governor Tina Kotek signed into law a bill that provides unemployment benefits to striking workers following Washington adopting measures spurred by recent walkouts. Today, going to be partly sunny to sunny today. Highs mid-70s, low 80s, and the west winds are going to pick up again today. It is 8:37 in the morning. We'll talk Washington Gorge Action Programs next.
Join Aniche Cellars in Underwood for Food for All, a summer dinner, concert, and wine tasting fundraiser Thursday, July 24th from 5 to 9 p.m. Enjoy Levantine cuisine, Aniche wines, and live jazz from the Quadrophones on the lawn overlooking the gorge. All proceeds benefit the WAGAP Food Bank Network and Mobile Food Bank, which served over 890,000 pounds of food to people in need in Skamania and Klickitat counties in 2024. Get your tickets today at WAGAP.org.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-480-4694. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-480-4694. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-480-4694. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-480-4694 or biglou.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:39 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, as we are now joined by, from Washington Gorge Action Programs, Executive Director Jennifer Pauletto and Janelle Boreen, who is the Food Bank Manager. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. And we're going to talk about the Food Bank, obviously, and because, Jennifer, I'll start with you first. You guys have a big fundraiser coming up. I think second or third time you guys have done the Food for All fundraiser. It's been longer than that
this
now.
This is the fourth or fifth.
Fourth. Okay, it's been
but
a while.
Either way, it's been a while.
Apparently, it's been a long time.
This is like the sixth.
Really?
Great.
Yeah. That long? Okay.
Yeah, since 18, I believe.
Oh, wow. Right. Okay. But anyway, you got a fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, and, you know, Food for All is our annual fundraiser that happens in partnership with Aniche Cellars. Aniche has been an amazing partner for us for many, many years and has led this fundraising campaign for us. And we're very grateful for that partnership. This year, we have decided to do a dinner and jazz night, an opportunity to have some Levantine food, Palestinian food, and some jazz music from amazing female musicians in Portland. All the proceeds from any of the raffle or any of the paddle raises will all go directly back to our food bank network here in Klickitat and Skamania counties. And we're really excited to have folks here, and we hope to see as many folks as possible.
Before we get into the food bank here, I do need to ask, because I'm just not familiar with this cuisine. Levantine, which I guess it's Palestinian, Syrian, and something else. Lebanese, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What is that cuisine? I have no idea as far as what type of food here. So I'm just curious.
Are you more familiar with
it? Oh, I mean, Jennifer, okay, whoever would like to say this.
So there's going to be a lot of, hummus and a whole bunch of dips and vegetables and wraps and things like that. It's really fun. Lots of rich proteins and really vibrant vegetables and flavors. It's really fun. It's not something you get around the gorge very often. Obviously, it's not super familiar to folks, but it'll be a great way to maybe have a dinner out that you would have to maybe go to Portland for or Yakima. And so these are those opportunities to have a unique and fun dinner in your area.
We'll do this a couple times during the course of this discussion here, but tickets, how do people get tickets for this? What do they need to do?
The tickets are done through Eventbrite.
Okay.
And it's for the
if you just go to wagap.org, we have a banner at the top and that has a link that'll bring you directly to the Eventbrite page. It'll talk to you all about what the ticket includes, how to buy it, and it's at this point it's we're selling up to 50 tickets, and we are having kind of a sit-down dinner, so that opportunity includes wine pairings as well. So we're really excited to have that. Eventbrite, you can buy a single ticket or you can buy a table as well.
And again, this is limited 50 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those limits, so you need to do this now. And this is going to be on the 24th of July, is when it's going to occur. And you've got a musical guest as well, if I remember correctly.
The Quadraphones.
And who are the Quadraphones, not being familiar here?
The Quadraphones are a jazz band based out of Portland. They actually, if you've ever been to like Portland Opera event or a event where there's a bunch of musicians in the pit, these musicians are usually part of that group. And so they come together. They've been backing bands from very popular artists in the past, and they just have a great time, really upbeat jazz. They just really vibe with each other, and it's just a really fun time, and we're excited to have them.
Of course, this is all for Wagas Food Bank programs. And Janelle, for those who aren't familiar, tell us about what Watt Gap offers with its food banks. I know you've got your main locations, and you've been adding in mobile over the last couple of years or so.
Yes, and we added the mobile in 2022, and that truck goes out every single Thursday to different locations throughout Klickitat County, and has in the past done it in Skamania County at different locations. It takes food out to the most rural locations. We're all the way out in Bickleton and Roosevelt, which if you've never been out there, it's quite the drive. It's quite isolated, and there's not a whole lot of anything to purchase that is fresh and nutritious and in your ballpark of finances. A lot of the people that are in our most rural locations have to drive many miles to get food, and so our truck being up there at least once a month is really offsetting.
Yeah. And then you've got, I think you're in Bingen, if I remember right.
Yes, we have four brick and mortar locations. Okay. So the Bingen one also houses our warehouse and has walk-in refrigerators and freezers. And then all of our other locations have refrigeration and freezer capacity. We have one all the way out in Stevenson, up in Goldendale, and in Klickitat, and then the Bingen one.
Mm-hmm. How many families do you serve? I understand it fluctuates, obviously.
It does. So we've been serving, this last year was about 2,700 families. Mm-hmm. And that was like almost 6,000 individuals in those families.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming, because I having done this conversation with other food bank folks, the demand is not going down.
The demand is not going down, but unfortunately, a lot of our funding isn't keeping up with it. And so we are proactively purchasing foods that will make a meal. And so we have everything from very nutritious meats and vegetables and fruit to the not so nutritious stuff that kids and families with limited cooking capabilities in their homes can make.
And I remember... And then as we start to get into kind of the hurdles that you're facing right now, I think, Jennifer, it was a couple of years ago, you were on here with Leslie Naramore, and we were talking about you had just lost a key supplier that was cutting back where they were going to. How have you been able to replace that? I mean, or have you been able to replace it, maybe a better way to put it? Janelle?
We didn't actually replace it. Fortunate for us, during the COVID time period, we had a lot of programs that popped up for the last couple of years, and those are going away, but they were very, very instrumental. So we received produce from different parts of the state, and we were getting meats, and we were getting money to buy local and to buy and get from other locations. And USDA really stepped up for a couple of years and gave us a ton of food to go through, which it was all shelf stable for the most part, and that was great. But since they flooded us with the food at the time, now we're seeing the ramifications of that, and we're getting less food from the same programs. They're still there. We never replaced Second Harvest, which is a Feeding America program.
So Washington doesn't have like an Oregon, like the Oregon Food Bank in Oregon. So you're a little more, is it more just regionally based, or are you just kind of on your own?
Mostly we're on our own, but it is both. The Washington State Department of Ag covers our USDA, and so they... have us have monthly meetings with other food banks from around the state. And so we get a lot of how to do things and what's happening as far as everything is concerned, whether it's our grants, whether it's advocacy, whether it's the food flow, purchasing, how we're doing, what we're doing. And that part is great. Yes, the Oregon Food Bank does a wonderful job about bringing all the players to the table. On a quarterly basis, and so
it's just something you don't have in the Washington side.
We don't. They don't actually want to mirror it, but they over the years, I've been there 11 years now, and they are still talking about how do we best bring the state together.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they ever do that or not. But after 11 years, you start to wonder. But
I do.
So, I mean, I assume then what you really have to rely on is the local side of things.
We do rely a lot on local, whether it's at county level, city level, individual companies, businesses, and stuff like that. Churches, they're wonderful. We even have some banks that have been backing us up in certain ways. They've given us grants, large grants, to do what we do. And so that was a huge part of getting the mobile up and running, as we received a nice large grant a couple of years ago to help us offset some of the costs that the grant itself didn't pay for.
You know, I mean, we're familiar, of course, with food drives in the area. I know you guys receive help from those. I know, you know, obviously in this area, there's a couple that we're involved in particular. Is it better, though, to do the cash donations anymore? Just because you guys do try to use more fresh food.
We do like to use a lot of fresh food. I am purchasing a ton of shelf-stable food as well. Yeah. And cash donations are better because we have a better opportunity for a price point to be lower. I do a lot of shopping, though, here locally. I do a lot of shopping here on the Oregon side because we have Walmart and we have Fred Meyer and Safeway and stores like that.
I'm trying to recall. I heard one time, you know, how far a dollar can go in a food bank's hands, and it's pretty impressive.
It is impressive. It doesn't go as quite as far as it used to go.
You are just like everybody else, the factors of economics still play in.
Yeah. I like the fact that the stores work with us very well, and they let us proactively order in large quantities. And so, and we're really good about sales.
Yeah. It used to be there were certain seasons that the food banks got a lot of traffic. Is that no longer the case? I mean, is it now more a consistent? Because we deal with our housing issues, et cetera.
It's a summer-winter thing.
Okay.
It's always going to be a summer-winter thing, because when the weather is decent, people, they're able to work, and they don't have to deal with the children being home all day during the day and stuff like that. And it's just the wintertime, everyone's holed up, and it's harder to access the fresh food and healthy food at a good price. And then the summertime, we have a lot of people who are on the move, whether they're up for temporary jobs or however the case.
So again, the event on the 24th, Jennifer, when, where, and how people can get tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Food for All fundraiser in partnership with Ani Chase Sellers is happening on July 24th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Ani Chase Sellers in Underwood. You are able to get tickets at wagap.org. And we also just want to make sure that we appreciate our sponsors, which include WellPoint, Riverview Bank, First Interstate Bank. And they've graciously given money to make sure that this happens.
So again, go wagap.org. You can get tickets. And again, there are limited tickets, we should note. This is one of those limited ticket events. If someone doesn't necessarily want to go to the event, but they'd like to help the WAGAP Food Bank, you'll take that as well.
Yeah, we always take donations, whether it's food donations or monetary donations. You can go to WAGAP.org and do a donation there. You can stop into any one of our locations in Stevenson, Goldendale, and Bingen, or you can call us at 509-493-2662.
Janelle and Jennifer, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much.
It is 8:52. We'll come back and wrap up the morning after this.
Heading down the highway? Pull over at the Little Burger Shack that's been bringing the love. Twin Peaks Drive-In in Hood River. Since the 50s, we've been flipping fresh, juicy burgers, rolling patties by hand, and slinging signature sauces like nobody's business. Add your pick of fries and a malted shake, and you've got a meal worth dancing about. Drive through, walk up, or kick back on the patio with mountain views. Hungry yet? Get to Twin Peaks Drive-In. It's your little old burger shack by the airport, baby. That's where it's at.
Experience a more exhilarating way to fish on the Jetski Ultra 160 LXS Angler from Hood River Power Sports and Marine. Fishing fanatics and watercraft enthusiasts can now enjoy their favorite fishing spots on the river like never before. With a powerful 1498cc inline four-cylinder engine, all-day comfort, and cutting-edge technology, the Jetski Ultra 160 LXS Angler is the watercraft designed so you can catch the good times. Get down to Hood River Power Sports and Marine for your new Kawasaki. We're the Gorge's biggest toy store.
At Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, we're family operated and proud to be part of your community. And we know road trip season should feel exciting, not stressful. That's why now through June 27th, when you buy three Nexen tires, you'll get the fourth tire free. No waiting, just instant savings at your local service center. Swing by, schedule online, or give us a call. We'll get you road ready in no time. Buy three Nexen tires, get one free. Only at Gills Point S. Visit us in the Dalles and Hood River or buy tires online at gillspointstire.com.
No stress with Point S.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Do I got one more break to go, by the way? Okay, I do. All right. Let's just tell you some things that are going on in the area here, then I'll send it back for that last spot. I know we're running a little bit short of time here. There's a Border Collie show. Today, 2 o'clock, Parkdale Library, Hood River County Library District is bringing this in. Then 5:30 today, Hood River Middle School Gymnasium. Very importantly, Rowena Fire Multi-Agency Resource Center again today, 4 to 6, Gloria Center on 2502 West 7th in the Dalles. Reptile Man is going to be at the Stevenson Community Library tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The Dalles Arts Center's got their Artist Talk on Life's Rich Palettes. And that'll be from 6 o'clock on Thursday evening is when it's going to start, 220 East 4th in the Dalles. Tickets $5, available at thedallesartscenter.org. And also, United Way of the Columbia Gorge Concert and Live Auction featuring the C.J. Mickens Band. That's at the Bargeway Pub in the Dalles. It's going to be on Friday. Doors open at 5:30. Tickets $25 in advance at the Bargeway Pub, the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce, or at UnitedWayColumbiaGorge.org. $30 at the door. It is a 21 and over event. 8:56. We'll wrap it up after this.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I'm the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. And we welcome you back on this Wednesday. Tomorrow on the show, Brett Stomps is going to join us, talk about the Hood River Fireworks Show and the fundraising they're doing for that coming up on Friday of next week, of course, the 4th of July. And we're scheduled to talk Columbia Gorge Community College tomorrow. Not sure who the guest is going to be yet. Hopefully we will learn that today. Friday, Oregon State Senator Daniel Bonham. We hope, you never know this late in the session if, you know, they might get pulled away, but we'll see if Daniel's going to be with us. Then Eric Bosler, Central Gorge Master Gardener, is going to join us on the show on Friday. And Monday, Marty Heiser from Fort Dalles 4th is going to join us. We'll preview that event with all sorts of activities going on Friday, the 4th of July in the Dalles. We're done for Cameron Eisenberg handling all the stuff in the studio. I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Thinking of climbing our iconic Mount Hood?